Spirit. And our teaching today and the title we've got, The Overcomer Must Complete Their Walk of Faith. The Overcomer Must Complete Their Walk of Faith. That is indeed if you have embraced and you see the overcoming walk of this closing age. You see, this has to be experienced. This is a consecration. This is a walk. This is not just something that we pick out at random from Scripture, but it is to relate to our lives. And you'll know if you're an overcomer because as you embrace the teaching and you listen to it, it has your name and address on it.
Yeah.
It is your experience as well. You identify with it. It's like, so often, it's like the Lord is visibly there speaking direct to me. That is the power of God's word. So, of course, he not only speaks to us corporately, but he speaks to us individually. And these titles that we give are for a reason. There is a reason why God gives us these titles, because it's what he's going to address and speak to us about. So this title today, The Overcomer Must Complete Their Walk of Faith, and that's why we are overcomers. Because how can we walk and complete that walk if we are not overcomers? So we've got to see that in our walk every day, which yes, does include the trials, the tests of our faith, is for a specific reason. It is setting you for future. It is getting you for a future life and walk with God in eternity. This is why our meetings, our taking in of this word, is so vital in preparation for our future with the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. It's not just for this life. The whole teaching of the deeper life is in many ways a walking in this life, walking through the door out into eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this spiritual aspect to this. If we are only going to see this just in this life, and for my needs and my overcoming and so on, you have missed what that open door is about.
Yes.
We are going to come to a place in this walk where we're going to experience, just like the early church and the apostles, where they had experiences where they didn't know they were in the flesh or out of the flesh. They were walking in two realms. This is why the apostle could confidently say that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. I know it to be a fact. Because I'm sure that when he was caught up in the Spirit, there were some of the things that he was seeing. You know, very often, you know, I've heard preachers say, I would love to know what the Apostle Paul was being shown and everything. Well, we all would, but we also get a clue of some of the things that were being shown by his writings, his epistles. He wouldn't have been able to write these things with that, had he not been shown a number of these things, and many other things which he said, I can't utter or reveal now. It's not the right time. But we still get enough understanding of what he was being shown by these epistles that we read. Of one of which is that we are seated with him in heavenly places. You are the only people that walk on planet Earth who are in two realms, this life and eternity, because everything that God's doing with us now has an eternal principle. And not only does it have an eternal principle, but it has rewards that he's going to give with those eternal principles. We read it. We read it in the book of Revelation and so on, to those that overcome what is given. So That is why we have to complete this walk of faith. And the overcomers, the sons of God, have got a consecration in this life where they are to walk this walk, to complete this walk of faith. Now, what its completion is, only God knows. And we call it perfection. Not sinless perfection, we've had much teaching over this, but there is that degree of perfection, or as the Greek shows it, a completeness. We have to come to that completeness that glorifies the Lord. The bride, who's making herself ready, comes to that completeness where she's now ready. Everything is prepared. Everything has been organized, just like a natural wedding would be. There's a lot of plans and preparations go behind a wedding. So we put that over into the spiritual, and God is doing the same. It's all being planned, prepared, getting ready, we're getting ready for the great marriage feast, which is the next great event for the overcomers. But take heed, not all will enter into that marriage. As the parable of the 10 virgins shows us, it is the 5 who's made themselves ready, who have walked that walk of faith. They have enabled their lives to be open before God through their hunger and thirsting for more, so that they have that extra vessel of oil, the oil of anointing. I like to call that the oil of thirsting for more.
Yes.
Because that's what it is.
Amen.
And so she sees something. She has seen that vision, and nothing's going to take that from her. As she is preparing, just like we do. And a lot of our preparation, as we know, it is around the anointed word of God that is filling that extra vessel of oil. Because there's coming a day, brothers and sisters, when we're going to thank God for this. When we start to see this separation, this divide. Because things are rapidly moving now, and we're going to be so grateful for this, even though it was hard, even though it looked ridiculous, as though nothing's happened, just a handful of people meeting regular and everything, yet we will see the wisdom and the mind of Almighty God. There is a reason why the man-child is hid in the womb of the woman. Revelation 12. There is a reason for that. We're hid until the appointed time. Because I'm convinced that this is where God can ultimately get what he wants from the saints. One of the things that God has been showing me, because we've had much about spiritual warfare, and we will continue to do so, and we're also finding, aren't we, in our prayers, both when we come together as a church and in your own prayer life, you're finding more and more now you are battling, you are moving into spiritual warfare. You wouldn't have been able to achieve that had you not been hid in the womb of the woman and are being taught directly by the Spirit. Little wonder why we see the dragons there trying to abort this man-child. Because that is one of the things that we are being taught, is spiritual warfare, to bring down the powers and principalities to war against them. God has shown us many, many times, hasn't he, that when we get into this warfare, it's like pushing back the powers of darkness. And that's what the overcomers are doing. We push them back so that the glory of God can clear the way and do what he wants to do. Because there's coming a day and an hour when the first fruits of the church is caught away, then the powers of darkness will move rapidly over the face of the earth. And for 7 years, it will look as though the enemy has won with his work that he's going to do. Thank God that we are going to be called away from that hour, from the great falling away, from the great tribulation that will cover the whole earth. Nobody wants to be around then in that time. We are seeing the grace and mercy of God at present, but there will come a time, because he is holy, he is righteous, he cannot deny himself, he cannot go against himself, his holiness coupled with the wrath of God will be seen in that hour, and nobody needs to be around or wants to be around then. This is the time of mercy and grace, but do not misuse it. Do not take it for granted, for it will not always be. For the scripture says, my spirit will not always strive with man. There will come an hour when that is it, and then the other side of the Lord will be seen. He will also be seen as a roaring lion of Judah. You don't want to be in the grips of a wild beast like that. So we have these warnings, and the five wise virgins, they take heed. You see, one of the things that we have to remember is that everything that God reveals to us and speaks to us about, we are hopeless in ourselves to change or do anything about it. The only thing that we can do that is graciously given to us is to mix faith with that which we hear, because that's where Israel failed. Whatever your circumstances, whatever you are going through, however you feel, you have a portion of faith today to believe and mix with that which we're hearing now, this present moment. You have a choice, because the preacher can't do that for you. He can only be the mouthpiece, the vessel, to bring it, to present it forward. It's how you eat of it. And this is why we're calling this teaching, the overcomers must complete their walk of faith. You see, each one of us has a faith walk that is unique to each one. I cannot copy my brother's faith walk. I cannot copy my sister's faith walk. I can see the result of what my brother or sister, their walk, and the fruit that is coming from it, and I can be encouraged by it, and I can learn by it, but I cannot copy it. And the reason being is because each of us have a faith walk with God that is unique and personal and to be completed for his glory. See, God is so big he can do that. Isn't that amazing? Just like all our fingerprints, everyone is different. That is a miracle, that is. I marvel at that. And you could just go on. So our faith walk is unique for each one of us, but the end result is the same for all, because we're in that race, you see?
Praise the Lord.
I must confess, I've been watching the Commonwealth Games, the sprinting, and I did, I watched it last night, and I got so excited, I actually stood up, and I watched it, there's this long race going on there, I really got, and I thought, Lord, I don't normally do that, you know, I don't normally get a buzz like that, and I suddenly realised, God said, that's what you're all in. See, there was a reason for it. I found myself when I was on my feet, I thought, yes, Lord, you're going to speak to me. And, you know, it is. And the whole crowd just stood, were euphoric. It just, you know, as you watch this, because you saw a grueling race, you could see the last lap, every ounce of energy. And what spoke to me about that was all their preparation, their training beforehand, was going to reveal whether they got it right at that last lap, the end, had they got enough just to make it. But the other side of it was, even those that were behind, they still made it, and they still came through. And there is where God is so fair and just and righteous, you see? Wonderful analogies you can get out of this. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. which tells us, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So who is actually going to complete this? The Lord himself. This is why we cannot lose in this life, in this walk. He is the one that's going to complete it, because he had to initially start it. As we know, gift is faith is a gift. So he's going to complete this. So the script tells us you can have a confidence. Now, what does it mean to be confident? Well, it doesn't mean to be arrogant, to go around flaunting this. It means in the spirit, in my relationship with God, my union and oneness with him, I have that confidence that he has started this work in me, and he's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Lord. Which means that he will complete this walk of faith that I have before him. This is why the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is so vital, is so essential. Because you need to be empowered for this, the power of God, in which to complete this finished walk that each of us have. And that's why the apostle takes comfort the work that God will do. So he doesn't become all anxious and fearful with the remnants, because he sees that there is a remnant, and he says, I'm going to have absolute confidence in my God over that remnant that God has called for the foundation of the world, because God will complete their walk. And that is why it's so powerful when we pray one for another. Father, I pray that my sister, she will complete that faith walk that you have decreed for her before the foundation of the world for your glory. Do you think God's going to turn a deaf ear to something like that? No way. You know, even before you speak it, God is going to answer that. Of course he will, because it's also in the scriptures. And that's what we should be praying one for another, as God is building this unity and oneness, this agape love, which means fellowship with God and each other, which is vital for us to stand and to go on and to be completed. Because this completion is not only an individual thing, but it's a corporal thing, but also for this assembly. Remember, we had a teaching a few weeks ago on the church in Ephesus. God commending that church for its ministry, its discernment, its holding to the word and everything, but he said, I've got one thing against you. You're leaving your first love. Because if you leave your first love, you cannot have true love, unity, and fellowship in the body. You have to be joined to your first love. Then that love is seen in the church. It says in the Epistle of John, if we walk in the light, we have one with another. The question is, do we walk 24/7 in that light? That's the question. See? And that takes relationship. It takes that overcoming walk, faith, to believe. Because some days you don't feel as though you are walking in the light. Mm-hmm. Some days it just seems completely opposite. Everything's gone wrong, trouble at work, trouble in the family, you name it, whatever it is, and it's the last thing you feel as you're walking in the light. Or you can see nothing but darkness. This is where your confession comes in. This is where you hold on. This is where you just come before the Lord. Lord, whatever's happening, no matter how dark it looks, I walk with you in the light, in Jesus' name. Sometimes that's all that's need to be said, and it starts to lift. Because I know what it's like. But the apostle takes comfort in this, and so should we. We should take comfort in this. We should take comfort for one another as we pray one for another that my brother, my sister will complete their faith walk for the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
It's vital.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why do saints have to do this? It's very simple, because God has decreed it. He's planned it. You say to me, why for me? Well, I'll tell you, it's not just for you. You've got to read your scriptures. Abraham, called of God, moved out, sought a land by faith, and walked by faith. That was God's plan for him and his family. And God had decreed he was going to walk that. Yes, he went off course for a while. Who hasn't? But God's got a way of bringing you back, focusing you. He's got a way, he'll bring you back. Because he has decreed it. He has planned it for your life. Noah, building that ark. 120 years. For what purpose? God had a plan to save humanity. Because otherwise he was going to destroy us. Man's mind had become evil. That's all God could see. But the plan for Noah, you will save humanity. And he had got a safe walk, and he had got to walk it and complete it. That's got to be God. It's impossible in the natural. Completely. Job had to complete the walk of trial and tests. Nobody went through what Job went through. Lost the lot. Even his own family were not with him. They saw it as a judgment on him. And woe to us that read things wrongly over brother or sister. You must not do it. Whatever they are doing, whatever is happening, they are in the hands of a sovereign God working in their lives. Just pray for them. We must not sin with our tongues, because it's sovereign. Because if you look at Job, my goodness me, it would look as though he had committed the worst sin from what he encountered. But look what God was doing. I shall see God in my flesh.
Hallelujah.
He saw Christ in the distance.
Praise
the time
you,
he was finished.
Praise you, Jesus.
You see, we can say this because we so empathize with it, don't we? We see our own lives. We see that stamp also over our lives, the same as these great saints of old. How about Samson? To believe that God would restore him back to God. He'd sinned badly, but his faith held on, and God had decreed walk. That's the way he was to go to get saved. He had to apostatize. In the natural, he still had a free will, but God had planned it. He had got a faith walk, and in the end, he glorified God, didn't he? By destroying the Philistines. It just goes on. These great people who walk by faith. Jonah. Oh, Jonah, I'm not going to do this. He wasn't going to obey. And he tried to run away from God. And God planned that fish, that mighty monster, to swallow him in 3 days. He was only too pleased to do the will of God after that. I can't even imagine what that was like, being for 3 days in a stinky belly with a fish. Just imagine. I mean, it's enough to put your fish for life, isn't it? You know, after an experience like that. But there we are. God knew, God preserved you, and he went and he prophesied to Nineveh. Yeah. God was teaching him something.
Yeah.
God was teaching him his mercy, his grace, because he wanted them destroyed. He wanted them cursed. But God was showing Jonah This is the mercy of God over a wicked city.
Praise you, Lord. Wonderful.
And I'm sure there must have been somewhere there in that wicked city someone who's praying. Because God always answers by prayer, you see. You're here today, brothers and sisters, and all those who are online, because somebody took the initiative to pray.
Thank you, Lord.
And we'll see that in glory. This is why your prayers are so vital, when you pray for those out in the world.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're praying for them. Sometimes you just walk, you're in the street, or you're shopping, whatever, and you just see something, or you see that person. Okay, you just, something within you, Lord, I don't know who that person is, I lift them before you now, in the name of Jesus. Remember them on that day. God's heard that. God's heard that, and that's saying, well, praise them, not only praise and thank the Lord, but I will also thank you that you are obedient to the Spirit, to leading, for guiding. See, evangelism is a bigger thing than we realize. Sadly, churches don't believe enough in prayer today, the power of prayer. And this is why they're caught up with so many works. And I'm not excluding that we have that place to witness and to share the good news. Indeed we do. But prayer is the key always to this. And knowing that when you lift a person or your next door neighbours up to the Lord, that God has already heard. This was part of your faith. This was decreed before the foundation of the world. This is the way I walk. I'm walking out my faith, which includes my prayers, praying for the lost.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You cannot go wrong in this. If you think about it.
Yes.
You really can't.
Praise the Lord.
The overcomers will complete the full spiritual 9 months that God requires of the man-child in the womb. We will complete it. There are times when we just think, give me a break. When is something going to happen? Are we going to have any breakthroughs? Is this really of God? We've all gone through it, haven't we? But God has decreed 9 months completion. That is our faith walk in this life. That's part of the calling. And you can take it up with God. You can fall out with me if you like. But at the end of the day, that is what God has decreed. It's part of the completion of our walk of faith. And that's why we go through these trials and tribulations. Because they're part of God completing our faith. Your trials are part of your perfection being worked before God.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's nothing like trials that perfect us.
That's right.
Really do. And yet a trial seems to bring terrible things out of us at times. You cannot believe. You know, you think, oh, I just can't believe that happened. Did that really happen? Did I really say that? No, I can't believe it. God's got it under control. And you know what to do. You know what to do if you've sinned, if you've done it. Get straight to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't leave it. Yes, and go straight to Him.
Thank you, Lord.
Get the blood covering you.
Abba Father.
And in that time, God will clear all that yuck, all that mess. And you just get a little glimpse of that precious gold that's being purified.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Saviour. Praise you, Lord. Mighty God.
That's why you see, to walk this walk of faith, your life, and possibly the church you are identified to, looks a complete mess. We so often seem to be standing on the brink of disaster, you know? And yet that is what faith needs. Don't ever try and work it out, but God has decreed it. And it can be a great source and comfort that though you're hurting, although you are battling, maybe believing, although you may be confused or whatever's going on, this is needed for me today for completion and walk of faith. I don't understand it, but God has got it under control. And that is where our rest is, because you see, this rest is vital for the believer. There are a number of reasons why this is, but one of the very important reasons that our rest is so essential, because it gives you deliverance to your mind. The mind, as we know, is a battlefield, and Satan does have access to the mind. That's the only thing he has access to. And he makes these suggestions, these lies, and God, of course, is closing these doors to the mind. We've said many, many times, and we continue to say it, that the mind is like a computer. A computer has to be updated. A computer, you have to defrag the computer. It has to be sorted out, all the files and everything have to be put back into place and so on. But whoever is operating a computer, if they put wrong information into that computer, it will bring it out at that right time when it's needed. So it's wrong. It then has to be corrected, rectified. That's a lot of IT work, actually. They're putting stuff into it, but in time, they have to rectify things they put in because they've realized that maybe that information isn't good or isn't right, or things have changed, things are moving on. So that's why computers have to be updated in so many ways. There's also, of course, a commercial aspect to it, we know that. But that is one of the reasons why. How much more, then, is God doing that with our minds? For we have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. And so he's taking out those wrong things, wrong attitudes, things that we may see or look at, and we've viewed it wrongly. I mean, how often sometimes, let's be honest, we've looked at something or we looked at a situation and you think, well, that's wrong, or, you know, you formed an opinion, only to find that what you saw was not really what it looked like at all. How often have we been called out on that one? See, heads are nodding. We have. See, the enemy's behind that, and he wants to pervert what you're seeing. He wants to twist it, see? And he wants to lodge that information in the mind. But praise God for the Holy Spirit, for the blood of the Lamb, and the word and the sword of the Spirit, that deals with it. This is why we need this washing of the word of God coming to meetings like this. Because this is what he does, you see? We have got to learn something in this walk, and the sooner you learn this and enter into this, the more peace and rest will come into your life, your mind, your heart. And that is, I know nothing unless it is revealed to me by my Heavenly Father. And that is what he's doing with us. He's going to strip us completely so that we are utterly dependent on him for our understanding, our revelation, our leading, our guidance, our discernment, everything. We will get it direct from our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Which is wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what a privilege.
Yeah.
My goodness. But I know the battle that's behind it. That's why Satan robs your mind. That's why he tries to attack, because he knows what you're destined for. Oh, he's no fool. But, praise God, Jesus has overcome at the cross. And he could confidently say, it's done, it's finished.
Yes.
I'll now take over their lives.
Amen.
And I'll live in them.
Welcome, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. That's what he's doing.
Hallelujah.
So he's our all in all. Little wonder why he's jealous over you. Little wonder why he holds the reins over your life.
Not at all.
We all do it, don't we? Well, it's all right for so-and-so. Look at them. They can go and do this, or they can go to that place, or whatever it be. Why is it I can't? Don't argue with him. Mm-hmm. God stop the brains on your life.
Amen.
Probably just as well he doesn't need you. That's what's behind it.
Yes.
Whatever anyone else is doing, whatever, leave them to God. You just concentrate what God has for you and what he wants you to do this day before him. See? That's what you live for. That is walking in the spirit, not in the flesh. And he is doing that, and he will do that. But your faith, my faith, has to come to its full completion. You see, a lot of energy is lost trying to work it out. Oh, quit that, brothers and sisters. Don't try and work it out. You've failed already, because we don't know. How do we know? You don't know. God hasn't shown you. You know, there are Christians, and I say this because I too fell a little bit into this trap years back, but a lot of Christians say, oh, the Lord has told me to do this. The Lord showed me that was so-and-so. The Lord this, the Lord that, the Lord that, and everything. And one day God said, don't keep putting my name to things that you discern in the flesh. You don't glorify my name. He almost spoke audibly to me on that. I thank the Lord for that, because there's pride behind that. And I renounced that. And I began to realize I cannot say the Lord has said unless he has clearly, divinely shown it. And he has ways in which he shows. Yes, we can be impressed that the Lord could be leading that way. I'm not sure. I value your prayers, brother, sister, you know, so that we clearly know that the Lord's saying, this is why we ask for prayer. This is why we pray. This is why we seek guidance, direction. Because we don't know unless the Lord reveals. We don't know. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we know that only too clearly when we see how he does things, how he works. And you will always find when he's done something, or he does something in your life, or he manifests something, or whatever it is, you have to turn around and say, I would not have worked that out in a million years. That's what's so wonderful about it. Let's think about it. I don't want to work out God's miracles. I don't want to know beforehand how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, and so forth. He wouldn't get the glory. If you think about it, and yet that's what we do. We want to be in control. I want to know the day, the hour, when he's going to heal me and touch me. Wouldn't we all? But God doesn't work that way. And we know why he doesn't. Because we'll start James and John, we'll start, well, let's make a booth. A monument, a shrine. That's what it is. God isn't into that. We worship God in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, now, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of you. That is our fellowship, that is our worship. We're not covered by a man, we're covered by the blood of Jesus. That is our banner. He is our head. We follow him. Yes, of course, he uses ministry. He uses a mouthpiece like me. But he initially is the one we submit to in love and unity. And as we submit to him, so we submit to the working of what he does in our circles. If we see God is doing something, or he's having to correct something, or he's blessing whatever it is, we rejoice in that together, because we've all submitted to the one whom we love. So he's requiring that. If he requires us to move in a direction as a church, we submit to that, because that's the one we're submitted to. He's leading and guiding in that way. That's why you don't have all this fighting and turmoil that goes on in so many churches. The backbiting and criticism in a lot of churches is appalling. The strife, and James calls it for what it is, it's devilish, demonic. Brothers and sisters, many of you have been preserved from coming out of these churches, these denominations. I know, I come through it. I came through the lot, and I'll tell you, I've never seen so much backbiting and gossip and criticism. It was unbelievable. It really, really was. That's why so many people say, you know, sadly there's more hypocrites in the church than there is out in the world. My family used to say it. Sadly, they're probably right. Well, praise God, the word of God says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And sadly, a lot of them are unclean. That is the tragedy. But in this hour now, God is calling out remnants, and in that calling out, he is establishing and restoring the house church again. That's where she was birthed and born, and that is where he's coming back for her, back again in these last days, back in the houses, the many membered bodies making up the one body of Christ. Isn't it wonderful? Where are we today? Huh? If you didn't see a church steeple on this bungalow when you came in, did you? You didn't have to make a sign with holy water, the cross, at the door when you came in, did you? Not at all. It's a house. And that's where he's restoring, because he's with us.
Amen.
We worship him in spirit and in truth.
Wonderful.
It is wonderful. I'm going to end with this, brothers and sisters. Let the trial mould you as an overcomer.
Amen.
Let the trial mould you as an overcomer.
Thank you, Lord.
And I don't say that lightly, because I know these trials can be a death and life situation. So I say that with great godly fear. But let the trial mould you as an overcomer. Because that's what you are destined for, that is what you're called for, that is the only thing now in this last day. There are so many out there trying to find a vision for this, a vision for that, and so on. There's only one, the bride. She's making herself ready. That is the vision now, brothers and sisters, for the overcomers. Make sure you're a part of that.